And so here we are this morning, and we're going to look at God's love from several places. But we're going to begin in 1 John chapter 4. You can be turning there to 1 John chapter 4. And, you know, many of you know this. You can stand together when you find your place there. I know those chairs aren't all that comfortable, so you probably don't mind standing for a couple minutes. I make the habit of highlighting a word that's repeated in a passage. And I have all kinds of different colored highlighters. And I even have last Sunday was Valentine's Day. And I guess red paint goes with Valentine's Day. Well, I've gone through this passage and highlighted every place where a form of the word love is in with my pink highlighter. And again, the page almost turns pink by the time you finish that little task. The subject of 1 John, and especially this chapter, deals with this matter of our love for God and our love for each other. And I want to begin reading in that chapter in verse 7. 1 John 4 and verse 7, where it says this, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us." Father, we bow before you, and once again, we just come to you asking you to enter in by your Spirit. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you'd be pleased, Lord, to give us hearts to understand, minds to receive what you would say to us today. Lord, you know the need of every heart in this room. Please, Lord, please work and do and help us, Father, as we surrender to you. Lord, I pray for anyone who might be in our presence today that does not know Jesus. Lord, I pray that your love would break through to their heart today. Your love expressed to us through your Son. They would be drawn savingly, gloriously, lovingly to you today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And of course, you may be seated. Is there anything about God that amazes you? I surely hope there is. There's much about our God that still is way beyond my comprehension. You know, as I consider some things, I'm just awestruck when I consider that he spake and the universe came into existence. What does the Bible say? God said, "Let it be," and it was. It was. The fact that there's nothing about anything that God doesn't know is certainly reassuring to my soul. The knowledge at this point that the infinite, all-powerful, all-knowing God took upon himself flesh and blood, was born of that young Jewish maiden, grew up, became a man, and then died at Calvary on a criminal's cross to pay the price, the debt of my sin. Amen. Still astonishes me. But the thing that amazes me, reassures me, and astonishes more than any of these things is that Jesus loves me.
Right.
Huh? The songs that we sang this morning, thank you, John, for those. Jesus loves me. The Apostle John wrote, as we just read there in 1 John chapter 4, let's look at those words again, that passage, where he says, of course, he's addressing believers. He calls them beloved. Let us love one another, for love is of God. The idea of that word of there means it's from Him. Love proceeds from God. And everyone that loveth is born of God. Again, talking about this kind of love. We'll try to explore that as we go along here today. Is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love, or because God is love. And this was manifested. This was made known. This was revealed, shown. The love of God toward us. Because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world. That we might live. That we might live through Him. Herein, John says, is love. Herein is love. Not that we love God. What's the big deal about that when you consider it? Isn't it right? Isn't it natural? Isn't it just the right thing that we would love this one who's done so much for us? Yep. So it's not that we loved God, but that He loved us. He loved us. I'd like to explore that as we go on. But that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation. And I know that's seems like a $25 word. But it all means is that He was our atonement.
Amen.
He was the payment for our sin. He was that one that made satisfaction of God's demand for sin. Our propitiation for our sin. Now, as I read that, and so many times as I've read that passage, as I read them, they seem to just jump out as me as a very personal and loving relationship of the Apostle John with the Lord Jesus Christ. With the Lord Jesus Christ. And we will see from the Word of God here today that we can, hopefully we do, have that same loving and personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, with our God. My prayer, oh my. I'm still amazed at it. I'm still amazed because I know Jim Turner, that God would love me. That God would love the likes of me. And I rejoice in that love. And I'm praying that we here today are the people that are rejoicing in that love. Rejoicing in what God has done for us and given to us. And as we look at this, you know, as this morning, one of the things I do on Sunday morning, hopefully when I usually remember, is there he is. There's Drew. Usually Sunday morning, when I get done and I've done all my other stuff, I send my outline to Drew. Usually it's Drew, and he puts together the PowerPoint that you see on Sunday morning. Well, I'm thinking I got to do something. There's something else I'm not doing for. And then I realized it was the PowerPoint. I don't send no PowerPoint today. Our first point I'd like us to look at is Jesus. Amazing love for me exceeds the love of a friend. The Bible talks about the love of a friend. Turn with me, if you would, over to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John in chapter 15. You find another place where that word love is used quite often. And in John chapter 15, and we're going to break into that passage at verse 9. where it says this, "As the Father hath loved me," Jesus speaking, "so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Now, stop there. That word abide and continue in the passage, it has the idea of to remain. The Lord Jesus Christ is saying, as I continue in my Father's love, you also have that same love. You continue in that love. "If you keep my commandments," verse 10, "ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another." How, Jesus? "As I have loved you." As I have loved you. Verse 13 says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Jesus' amazing love exceeds the love of a friend. And now this point is going to have a couple twists in it as we examine this thought. You know, there's a camaraderie within the love of a family. The love of a family. I had three brothers. One of them has been with the Lord now already for, I guess about 10 years. And growing up, oh my, there's no way to describe how we fought with each other. We were typical brothers. There was actually knockdown dragouts at times. Now, I'm sure the little boys never do that. Is that right? No. No. But there was literally times there'd be knockdown dragouts. But I also remember a few times when one of us got in a bad spot. We got in trouble. Then the camaraderie of our brotherhood kicked in. And if you had trouble with one of the Turner boys, you were going to have trouble with four of them. Huh? Yeah, there was that brotherhood. But with that said, human brotherly love is great, but the Bible describes a love that exceeds the love of a brother. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24, you know these words. "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly." That's a principle there. Yep. Don't complain if you don't have friends, but you're not friendly. The old grumpy face all the time, and you're growling and grumbling. Well, if you're going to have friends, you're going to have to show yourself friendly. Right. But the verse goes on. It says, "And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." A friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Well, it's very clear who Solomon means by that friend. That friend is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. None other than our Savior. The love that Jesus has for us is a family love. He even calls himself our brother in Hebrews. Huh? We are able to address our God as Father. And yes, the love that Jesus has for us is a family love, but it far exceeds an earthly, a human family love. It's a divine love. It's a divine love. Are you mindful in the book of John, the Gospel of John? There's a couple times where John addresses, and we believe he's talking about himself, as the disciple that Jesus loved. Huh? Remember that? John understood something about the love of God in a very personal way. On this night, in John, the events of John 15, that last night there in the upper room as they shared that supper together, And Jesus was talking about when he would be leaving and how he would be betrayed by one of them. Peter nudges John, ask him who it is essentially what he was, the question. And it describes John as what? The one that was leaning on the breast of the Savior. So John, and he writes these words, he's writing out of a very personal and a loving relationship with the Savior. I don't know what all this, it may well be that John was the youngest of the 12, and he had that kind of a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that was a little bit different than some of the others. But it says in John chapter 15, verse 9, as the Father hath loved me, Jesus says, so have I loved you. So have I loved you. And then he says, continue, remain, stay, go on in my love. And the idea wasn't, I don't think he was challenging them or chiding them there. They were words of encouragement that you have the beautiful privilege of continuing in my love. Yes, I need to love him. Yes, I need to continue in my love for him. But beloved, we have the great privilege of continuing in his love for us. His love for us. Jesus' love for us exemplifies the greatest expression of love, as he would go on. And he said in verse 13, greater love hath no man than this. What was it? That a man laid down his life for his friends. The greatest expression of love. The Lord describes his love as the love of a friend, but it's not a casual friend at any rate. It's not the love of a fair weather friend. We've all had some of those. His love for his friends is a sacrificial love. It's a love that, now listen, it was a love, it is a love that was not only willing to die for us, but did die for us. Huh? Isn't the love of Jesus amazing? We also see in the Word of God that Jesus' love for us cannot be broken. Cannot be broken. There's nothing that can break his love for us. You're familiar with these. These passages are familiar to us, and we're just taking a selection of the passages from the Scripture talking about his love. But in Romans chapter 8, there's this great declaration about the unbreakable love that he has for us, the inseparable love that he has for us. And we'll read those verses. What's it say? Verse 35, Romans 8. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? It's one of those questions that you stand, well, there's no answer for them. But Paul goes on there and he says, shall tribulation, shall distress, persecution or famine, nakedness, peril, sword, a snowstorm? Oh, no, I didn't, that's not there. Verse 36 says, for as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Now, I always thought that's kind of a strange statement there. But Paul is likening the situation that those New Testament believers were dealing with to Old Testament saints, to many Old Testament saints. He quotes in that verse from Psalm 44, verse 22. Old Testament saints often suffered persecution. They dealt with persecution. They dealt with death, and they dealt with that pressure brought upon them for their faith in God. The apostle is encouraging New Testament believers, as he writes Romans, that the persecution they were often dealing with in the world would in no way separate them from the love of God, the love of their Savior for them. Because he goes on in verse 37 and he says this, "Nay, in all these things, whatever it is we may face, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." Paul says, I'm persuaded. You were not going to convince Paul any other way. I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us, cut us off from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Huh? What a tremendous statement. What a tremendous statement. Oh, my. Talk about eternal security. And who's that security rest on? Jim Turner doing everything right and keeping himself saved? No, there's not a one of us in this room that can keep themselves saved.
Amen.
We're kept the same way we were saved, by grace through faith.
Amen.
Nothing can separate us. Right now, as we read there in verse 36, there, right now, there are Christians suffering in this world for the cause of Christ. I read this week about a man named Kim Jong-wook. Close as I can find out, that's the right way to pronounce it. Kim Jong-wook. He's a Korean Baptist missionary. He's imprisoned right now in North Korea. You see, he ran underground churches and shelters for North Koreans that had got into China. He also helped North Koreans escape many times to South Korea. And according to sources in Seoul, South Korea, Kim went into North Korea looking for information about a group of North Korean women who had escaped into China and were staying in one of the refuges that he ran. But the Chinese captured them and sent them back to North Korea. His desire to find out what had happened to them and to learn more about the severe food shortages and everything else that goes on in North Korea. And his desire to find out about that, in October 2012, he went into North Korea. He was arrested, sentenced to a life of hard labor, 2014. He was accused, now listen to this, he was accused of allegedly spying, trying to set up underground churches. Well, okay. And then listen to this. This is the kicker. And malignantly hurting the dignity of the ruling Kim family. No relation to him. For that, he was sentenced to life of hard labor. The reports that they've got into South Korea is that his physical situation has greatly deteriorated. He's in terrible conditions. Because of what? He loves Jesus. And he was willing to risk his life, his safety, for others. Kim Jong-wook's story is just one of hundreds, thousands of believers that are suffering in places like North Korea and China, other places in the world. Why? Because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I was thinking about that as I read that story, feeling sorry for myself that there was nothing coming out of the faucet. Pretty shallow. When there's real suffering going on in the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. Kim Jong-wook is our brother in Christ. And he's suffering for the Lord Jesus Christ. Just one of many, many thousands. But the Apostle Paul certainly understood all that firsthand, didn't he? He understood what it was to pay the price for his walk for the Lord. But he said in verse 37, on the heels of writing to the folks there in Rome about the struggles they were facing and dealing with, but what did he say in verse 37? In all these things, whatever we may be suffering, whatever persecution, whatever the issue is, all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that what? Loved us. Huh? Through him that loved us. Isn't the love of Jesus for us amazing? I've already said this, but the Jesus' love for me, it transcends my understanding. Anything I could even understand, beloved. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19, the Apostle Paul again writes these words. He says, and to know the love of Christ, which what? Passeth knowledge. What's that mean? Beyond what we can understand. Beyond what we can understand, that we might be filled with the fullness of God. Uh-huh. The love that would take Jesus Christ to Calvary transcends human love. And again, beloved, we'll sacrifice for those we love. We may even be willing to die for those we love. But Jesus left his place at the right hand of his Father, came to this earth planet, took upon himself a flesh and blood body, the holy, only begotten Son of God, experienced all the trials, all the tribulations, all the testings, and more that you and I deal with. He did it all for one reason, so that he could sacrifice himself for us. Isn't that something? Out of his love. He did it so that he could sacrifice for us. Yes, Jesus' love for us, for me, transcends my understanding, but it also, his love for me transcended his own, and this is obvious after what we've just read, but we'll see more, his own well-being. His own well-being. Listen to these verses. Still in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, we read in chapter 5 and verse 2 where he challenges us, walk in love. Are we doing that? Walk in love as or in the same way as Christ loved us, listen, and hath given himself. How did he give himself? Paul tells us. And hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Sacrificed himself. In the chapter 5 of Ephesians, in verse 25, here he's addressing husbands. And he says, husbands, love your wives, even as, again, in the same way, even as Christ also loved the church. That's us. Same way. He loved his bride, the church, and what? Gave himself. Gave himself for it. And then one more verse that Paul deals with this in Galatians chapter 2, 20. He's calling us to follow his example, isn't he? Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Who what? Love. Paul's declaration. Who loved me and gave himself for me. Do we notice something about all three of those verses? What do they tell us about the love of Jesus? The love of Jesus Christ for us? Jesus' love for me, Jesus' love for you moved him to give, to lay down his life for us. Wow. It's a favorite theme of the Apostle Paul. Over and over we've read Paul expressing something in that line of thought, that theme. It was a theme of his in his letters, and obviously it was something that I believe amazed Paul. He said it was beyond his understanding, his knowledge, something that he never got over. And I pray that we'd never get over it. The love of Christ. Dear ones, I think Paul was amazed, just as we, the theme of this morning, was amazed that Jesus would love him. Yeah, I believe that. I believe he was amazed that Jesus Christ would love him. Why? Because Jesus knew himself. I mean, Paul knew himself, just like you and I know ourselves. Why would it amaze the apostle Paul, the great apostle called? Of course the Lord would love him. Really? How did the apostle Paul see himself? Well, you know the verse. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, where Paul declares, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation." Listen to this, Paul's saying. That Christ Jesus came into the world to do what? Save sinners. And Paul confesses, "Of whom I am chief." I'm at the top of the sinner list, he says. When Paul looked into his own heart, he saw the ugliness of his sin. You know, it's real easy. It's real easy for us to see the sin of that other guy. It's easy for, "Oh yeah, I'm thankful I'm not as big. Yeah, I know I'm a sinner. But thankfully, I'm not as bad as that guy." Sure, grateful. Yeah, I know I'm a sinner. But I'm not as bad as that guy that lives down there on the corner. Sometimes we can be looking down our nose and point our own bony fingers at others in their lost condition and their wickedness. But that's right where God found me.
Amen.
That's right where he found me, beloved. Beloved, Satan is continually, does he do this with you? Continually reminding me of my sin. Yeah. But because of Calvary, because of what Jesus did for me, because of what he did for you,
amen,
we can remind Satan, "I'm bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus."
Amen.
Yes, Satan, I know I'm a sinner, but Jesus loved me and gave himself for me. You don't have any hold on me anymore, Satan. You say, "Do you do that?" Have. Some believe that their sin, "Oh, it's just too great. God could never forgive me. You don't know what I've done, Pastor." No, dear one. No. To say that, to say that you cannot be, that there's no way God could save you, is to say that the sacrifice of Jesus Christ was not sufficient. You're belittling the sacrifice. You're belittling the blood of Jesus Christ to say, "I'm different. I'm beyond." No. The blood of Jesus Christ, the holy, sinless Lamb of God, was sufficient for what? The sin of the world.
Amen.
Rejoice in it. Yes. The Apostle Paul understood this. In Romans chapter 7, oh, that passage, it kind of twists us around. In Romans chapter 7, and towards the end of that chapter, he says in verses 24 and 25, listen to his confession. Oh, wretched man that I am. Huh? Paul knew what he was. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Verse 25 gives the answer. I thank God. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Huh? Yes, beloved. We are wretched sinners. We're wretched. But because Jesus loves me, Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, Son. No condemnation. Satan has no, he has no rights to you and to me if you're saved. No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Turn over with me again. We're nearly done, beloved. Just a couple pages to Romans chapter 5. Excuse me. Romans chapter 5. Again, a very familiar passage. We usually quote just verse 8. We're dealing with someone about salvation. But I want us to read a couple more verses there. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. See if this does not describe your situation before you knew Jesus. He says, for when we were yet without strength, means without it, without ability, without the strength to do anything for ourselves. When we were without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. He goes on in verse 7 and he says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. We might sacrifice for someone we love, someone we believe is a good person. We understand what that means. But notice what it says. But God commendeth his love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners in our wretched, sinful condition, doing our own thing, going our own way, no mind for God, Christ died for us. Huh? That's love. That's love. God commendeth his love towards us. What are you saying, preacher? The love of Jesus is amazing. It's amazing. Even though it was hopeless for us. It was hopeless. It was hopeless to make ourselves right with God, even though without question, ungodly sinners. You say, you're not very nice today. No, that's just the truth. Every last one of us. Nothing but wretched, ungodly sinners. And even though I'm guilty, even though I'm no way innocent, even though there's nothing righteous, nothing good about me, Jesus loves me. A sinner, and he died for me. Huh? Is that amazing? How amazing, beloved. Forgive me, I couldn't help it. I've got to throw this in. Yes, indeed, it is amazing that Jesus loves me. This I know,
for the Bible. Tells me so. Do we believe it? It's the question. Do we believe what God would be pleased to tell us about his love for us? Not only his love, but his son's love for us. Oh my, how amazing. Do you know that love this morning? Have you received that great, great expression where Paul speaks of there in Romans chapter 5, verse 8? That expression, how he manifests, commendeth his love toward us while we were yet sinners. Have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? His amazing love towards us. Father, we bow before you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we can be together and worship you. We can lift up the lovely, lovely name of our Savior. Lord, I thank you for your love. Yes, I kind of get blubbering about it, Lord, but I'm so thankful you love me. Died, gave your son, who died for us, for me. Lord, I pray, oh God, I pray in Jesus' beautiful, lovely name that I'd never, that we all would never, ever get over that love. We cherish it. Praise you for it. Thank you for it continually. Be quick and ready to tell others how Jesus loved them, died for them. Oh, Lord, please. Please help us even as we would close out this hour to be amazed with your love for us. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen and amen. Brother John.
Page 188.
As usual, these front chairs are all open. If you surely come, welcome to come and pray as the Lord would lead you. So we sing, please obey the Lord. Do what he'd have you to do. Isn't the love, God's love, wonderful? Amen. I know I'm an emotional wreck sometimes. Lord, there's some things I don't want to get over. There's some things I don't want to be cold about. And the love of God for me, for you, if God's love for you isn't something that just does something in your heart, moves in the depths of your being. He loves you. Gave himself for you. Amen. Amen. Come on, my brother. Amen. It's been good to be together today. Amen, my brothers.
Let's sing our chorus, I'm So Happy. Remember the lyrics?
I'm so happy, and here's the reason why. Jesus took my burdens all away. Now I'm happy, as the days go by, Jesus took my burdens all away.
You're dismissed.